Welcome to another inspirational podcast from Nations Church. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.
It's good to be with you this morning. Isn't it good to be in the house? It's good to be in the house. Awesome. Well, I'm going to share probably quite prophetically with you this morning. And before we get into it, let's just come and gather around and just position our hearts in prayer. Amen. Why don't you just join me as we just pray? Just position your heart in that place of surrender before Him. God, we just acknowledge your presence in this place. We thank you that you are here. God, that you want to move. And I pray for a spirit of wisdom and revelation to fall on everyone that hears these words. God, with the eyes of their understanding, with the eyes of their heart, be enlightened, their internal being, would they be enlightened that they may see and that they may know the hope that is in you and the inheritance that you have in us. God, would you speak today? Would you speak today? Would you speak to every heart? We position ourselves before you. And God, we invite you to come. We invite you to speak. Have your way in this place and every life and in your house and in your world, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. It's good to be with you this morning. You know, it's no secret that we've been walking through a pretty turbulent time in the earth. And it's often at these sorts of times that you hear a lot of talk about what the devil's doing. And while that's true, and absolutely we step in and we pray and we intercede and we give that to God, it is so important that we keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, that in every season and every circumstance, we're asking God, God, what are you doing? What are you saying? Because God is always moving. He's always working. And we've got to be really careful that we do not become distracted by the opposition, that we miss what God is saying and doing in the midst. Because it's just like God to use the very thing that the enemy intended to use to distract and stop the plan of God and use it to bring about his very plan and purpose for this time. When Jesus died on the cross, it looked like everything was going the enemy's way, right? But in fact, it wasn't. It was going according to the plan of God. We're going to come around a time of his word together, and I'm going to be speaking into the topic of surrender. And so if you're taking notes, the title of this message is called His Way. His Way. Early last year, I was in the garden, and I had this plant, and a couple of years prior to this, it was ready for an upgrade. It was root bound. It needed to come into a new pot. And so I did all the right things. I broke it open. I prepared it, got the right size, moved it into the next pot. And 2 years later, the very beginning of last year, I'm looking at this plant and I could feel the drawing of the Holy Spirit. And I had this urge to pull it out. And as I did, I noticed that this plant was growing to the exact same shape of its old planting. It was like it was refusing to come into the space that had been available to it all this time. And in that moment, I felt God say, this plant is my church, the body of Christ. And this pot is the new thing that I'm going to do, that I'm about to do. The new era that I believe we are in right now. Over last year, I sat with God and I was like, God, what are you saying? What's stopping us coming into this brand new thing? What's stopping us coming through into the new thing that you're doing? And as I sat with him, I heard these words over and over. I'm coming as the lion. I'm coming as the lion. I have come as the lamb, and I'm coming as the lion. I'm coming in victory. I'm coming in resurrection power and in signs and wonders. And I felt this question in my spirit before me. How can we live in resurrection power if we have not died? Died to ourselves, died to our own ways, died to the ways of man, our own good ideas, human wisdom and understanding. Early this year, I felt the weight of this word in my spirit and the urgency to share what God has been saying. You know, I believe we still are. And what God is wanting to do at the moment, he was and he still is wanting to cut away a lot of the root systems, ways of thinking and doing things within the house and within individual people in our lives. But it is so that we would come into the new thing. In Matthew 16, 22 to 23, we're going to drop into a passage of scripture. And Jesus has just predicted his death. And we find Peter rebuking Jesus, right? In verse 22, let's read it. It says, "Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, 'Far be it from you, Lord, this shall not happen to you.' But he turned and he said to Peter, 'Get behind me, Satan, you are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but of the things of men.'" Peter's response seems like a reasonable one, right? Like, you can forgive him for his response. I feel like that probably would have been our response too. It makes sense within our own human logic, within our own human wisdom. Yet Peter was standing in the way of the very plan of God, mindful of the ways of man and not of the things of God, mindful of his own way, his own perspective, maybe how he thought things should have gone, how he thought things should happen. See, it was the will of God that Jesus would die. We know that. But that doesn't really make sense within our own wisdom and understanding. You've just got to look at it from Mary's point of view. He was the Son of God, but she was his mum. And the reality is, it was the will of God that her son would die and that he would be a sacrifice for all humanity. And when we put ourselves in her shoes, in this we can see that God's ways, they're clearly not our ways. Isaiah 55, 8-9 says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." His ways are not our ways, and his thoughts are not our thoughts. If you read the prior scriptures in Matthew 16, Jesus had asked his disciples, "Well, who do you say I am?" And Simon Peter, he speaks up and he's like, "You're the Christ, the Son of the living God, right? The Messiah, the one foretold." And Jesus, what does he respond with? He's like, "Yes, blessed are you, Peter, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And because of this, I call you Peter," right? He changes his name from Simon to Peter. And he says, "It's on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven, and what you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and what you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." We know the scripture. "Flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father in heaven." See, Jesus says, "I will build my church. I will build my church. Not on the man, Peter, but through him as the heavenly taught confessor of faith." Through him as the heavenly taught confessor of faith. See, God is going to build his church with those that are positioned and yielded to what he is revealing. We're a lot like Peter. One moment we've heard from the Father, and then the next we're coming in human wisdom and understanding. But yet in doing so, we actually can stand in the very way of the plan of God, mindful of our ways and not his. If we go back to Matthew 16, 22-23, after Peter's rebuked Jesus, and read verses 24, Jesus gathers the disciples and he responds to this with these words that we all know so well. He says this, it says, "Then Jesus said to his disciples, 'If anyone desires to come after me, he should deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me.' If anyone wants to be my disciple, he must deny his own will, his own way, his own thoughts, his own values, his desires, his purposes, his own will, his own good ideas, human wisdom, the ways of man. He should die to that, die to what is carnal, and there must be a death within themselves. And then they should pick up their cross and follow Jesus, his ways, his wisdom, his plan, and his purpose." See, many times throughout the scripture, Jesus would repeat himself, saying that he only does what he sees the Father doing. "Again, I tell you the truth, I only do what I see my Father doing. Don't you know I'm about my Father's business? I have not come to do my own will. I've come to do the will of the Father. Nevertheless, not my will, your will be done." Jesus lived this surrendered life. He was about his Father's will, his way, with the instruction to us to do the same, to follow his lead. See, to be a disciple of Jesus is to be a follower of Jesus. It's to die to ourselves, our will, our ways, our desires, to be completely empty of us so that we can be full of him, so that he may work through us. God has indeed been cutting away, and he still is. He's dealing with his house, ways of thinking, ways of doing things, mindsets. God is doing a new thing. He's doing a new thing. And hear me when I say this. It's not that there was anything wrong with what has been. It's not that anything is wrong with what has been. The old plant, the old pot for the plant was good for a season. But it's time to grow. It's time to mature. It's time to go deeper. And God is shifting his church into position. And I get it. It feels like a setback. But I want to tell you, it's actually an upgrade. It's actually an upgrade, the cutting back, the stripping back of control, of ways that we've become so used to, even within the house, is an invitation to come forward and to come deeper. It's about his will and his ways in this new era, and it's a new era of being led by his spirit like we haven't experienced before. The roots of the uncomfortable plant had to be cut back so that it could grow into more. Some ways that were good in the past are no longer going to be of use where we're going. And the body of Christ has been stuck, just like the root-bound plant. And we cannot stay in our spiritual Egypt, the way of doing things in the past or how he moved in the wilderness. We can't stay contained in what was, how God moved then, how we encountered God before. He's calling us into his plan and promise for our generation. But it's about the position and the condition of our heart. It's about our heart posture before God. It's less about what, and it's more about who. It's less about what, and it's more about who. Some things will seem the same, but they won't be. And some things will change. But it is all because of the shift in the posture and position of the heart before God. It's in that place of yielding, completely relying on God and not of ourselves, surrendering to him and his ways, his divine direction. See, God is bringing alignment, our hearts with his. It's not religious performance. It's authentic relationship. I said it in the 9 a.m. as well, worship teams. It's not about engaging with the people. It's about engaging with the Father. It's about engaging with the Father. And it is when we enter into the throne room that the glory of God comes and his presence falls out into the atmosphere and things begin to change and things begin to shift. Then people are let in. We won't pray things like, God, come alongside what we're doing. No, we're going to declare, God, would we come alongside what you are doing? Would we come what you have put your hand on? How we build and what we build, it matters to God. It matters to God. God's work must be done in God's way. Psalm 127:1 says, unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. We're meant to be building. Don't get me wrong. We are indeed the laborers. There is work to be done. The Bible says that we will all be rewarded for the work that we've done. But we're building in a partnership according to his divine direction, his way. And it's in our partnership that the purposes of God are established on the earth. It's in our partnership. It is God that will build his church. He leads us. And I wonder if we've used words like initiative and excellence to hide the fact that we're just outworking our own will and ideas, maybe the ways of man or the ways of the world. And it hasn't been from a malicious place, but from a desire to see the kingdom of God established. And there's nothing wrong with those things. There's nothing wrong with initiative and excellence. They're good and they're God things, but when they are used for what God is asking us to do, God is simply bringing us into a greater place of maturity. He's bringing the body of Christ into a greater place of maturity. He wants to remove old ways of thinking, ways we once operated, He wants to remove what we once contained, because what still remains of the previous position, the old posture, needs to be removed. Just like a dish in a kitchen sink, the old must be cleaned away for the new that is coming. The old flavor, the old way, I'm telling you, fed many, but if the old remains, it will disturb the flavor of the new thing that God is bringing. The old will be a distraction from the new. It's a dangerous place to be when we think we can pray for revival, pray for awakening, and not change. We can't keep insisting nothing has to change in our lives. Praying for revival, and it's like, oh, well, that's fine, it'll come, but I'm just going to stay the way I am. It doesn't work like that. There's always a change within your internal life before there is a change with your external world. Our life in Jesus, it comes from death. This is what the Bible says, right? And the death of my flesh, it leads to the life of the Spirit. It leads to the life of the Spirit, and to the level that I have allowed myself to be disconnected from self is to the level which I have been able to connect to His Spirit, and His Spirit can flow in and through me. See, we disconnect from self to connect to His Spirit. We give up our fleeting lives for His everlasting life, His abundant everlasting life. It's our flesh that stops the move of His Spirit in us and in our worlds. It's our flesh that keeps us in a state of dehydration, in a place of slumber, in our sin, in our brokenness, not experiencing everything that we have access to through the Holy Spirit. Jesus said those that, what, that love their life will lose it, but those that lose their life, they'll find it. See, if you're yielded to self, well, you're going to see a demonstration of self. But if you're yielded to the Holy Spirit, you're going to see a demonstration of the Holy Spirit. Our inward condition affects our outward reality. And it's when we're yielded to Him that we see an outworking of His power manifest in our lives and then on the earth. See, if we want to see the fullness of His power realized in our lives, in our churches, in our world, then we need to be yielded and surrendered to His leading alone. He's the only one that can bring about supernatural change, miracles, transformation, signs, wonders, healings. He's the only one that can cast out demons, pull down strongholds. He's the only one with all power, all authority, and He lives in you. He lives in us. Signs and wonders will follow those that believe. This is what the Word says. We often talk about the power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit, but it's time that we understand what it is to be led by Holy Spirit in the way that God intended. Because we don't wield Holy Spirit, we yield to Him. We don't wield Holy Spirit, we yield to Him. He is a person. I don't use His power or His gifts that He gives me to do something that I think needs to be done from my perspective. No, I yield to Him, and He works through me as I allow Him, as He leads, where to go, what to say, what to pray, what to do, how to build. Jesus said, every plant that my heavenly Father did not plant would be what? Uprooted. Whatever isn't of heaven, whatever hasn't come from the Father but is of man, of man's devising, well, that will be uprooted. That's really humbling to think about, right? What's carnal? What's just a good idea? Just because it's good doesn't mean it's God. What's of our own accord, human traditions? It'll be uprooted. When my life is thrown into the fire at the end of the age, I want there to be spiritual fruit that remains, that I did what He asked me, that I lived from His Word, that I partnered with Him, that I was aligned with Him and what He was doing, that I was awake to what He was doing in every moment of every day, right? That my life counted. I want to be someone that lives out those words of Jesus. I want to see a church live out those words of Jesus, that we do what He tells us, that we do what we see Him doing, that we're about His will, that we're about His way, we're about His work and not our own. The church has kind of been in this place of feeling a bit discontent with where we are, right? Because there's this genuine desire to see the reality of heaven and the fullness of the finished work seen on the earth. Jesus said we'd do greater works than he did. I don't know about you, but I haven't seen that yet. God will not give us what we aren't ready for. He's too kind. It would destroy us. See, when a strong wind comes, it uproots trees with shallow roots. And if the Holy Spirit is leading us, then we really should be following, right? Because if he leads, then we follow. See, if I was to follow Gareth in the car, I have to be completely surrendered to the way and the route that he's taking to get to the end destination. See, I can't follow and have a will and a motive of my own. I can't take a different route because I think I know a more efficient way or a faster way to get there. If I do, then Gareth's not really leading. I am. I might have the same end destination in mind, but he's not leading. I am. I'm not following. Are we following? Who's directing our lives? Because maybe if we're honest, maybe we'd see sometimes in moments it's Holy Spirit, and other times it's ourself, it's us. But for what God wants to do on the earth, he needs full surrender, not just part. He needs full surrender, not just part. It's time for us to learn the new rhythm of following his leading, of being a follower, being a true disciple, to be led. He leads, we follow. We're just hosts for the Holy Spirit to move and dwell in and move through as he wills, completely yielded to the revelation and direction of the Holy Spirit. He's bringing us into alignment with himself. I'm telling you, God is coming to take control of his church. It's about his way. He's preparing and purifying his bride so that she may walk in victory, in signs and wonders, and the fullness of the finished work of Jesus. He's awakening the body of Christ across the globe for one of the greatest moves of God we've seen on the earth. We are in a great revival of the Church of Jesus Christ. And God does not want us to go back to normal. You hear it a lot. It's like, oh, I can't wait for things to get back to normal. He does not want us to go back to normal. We are crossing over. We're going into the new, into the promise. Like the nation of Israel crossing the Jordan River, it is time to cross over. It's time to position yourself in the secret place, set apart for his leading alone, to die to what is carnal, to die to the ways of the world. It's time to cross over your spiritual Jordan River. The Jordan River, the place of death and resurrection, right? The place of baptism, the place of crossing over from the old into the new. We've got to wait on him, follow his leading and his direction, not rush ahead and presume we know what he's doing or where he's going. We're coming into new territory, and we have not been this way before. We have not been this way before. There is so much he's calling us into. There's so much for us to possess and take hold of and grow up into. Yes, there are battles that await. Yeah, there are strongholds to take down. But he's calling us to conquer. He's calling us to take ground for his kingdom. And those that come humble and repentant and yielded to him, ready to follow, will step into the new thing, will come into the promise for this time. He's calling us to leave our spiritual Egypt, our wilderness, our place that has kept God's people stuck. I believe we are in the Kairos time of God. His appointed time for his plan and his purpose. The water level is rising. I'm telling you, harvest is coming and a deep work of the Holy Spirit has and is taking place. He is waking up his true church and he's bringing his bride into a place of maturity for one of the greatest harvests we've seen on the earth, a harvest of souls. I'm telling you, it's coming. And there is an invitation from heaven to you right now to come into greater alignment with his Spirit, to come into position. But it's an invitation. You've got to accept it. You can come or you can stay. It's up to you. Come and position your heart in surrender before him. Yield it before him for what he wants to do. There's an invitation to come into the deep with him. Out of the shallows and into the deep. out of what we think we know, out of what was. Simon Peter, he'd been out fishing all night, you know, doing his own thing. Remember, you know the story? Doing his own thing, his own way. It's what he knew how to do. But he'd caught nothing. He'd been working hard and he had caught nothing. Yet at the word of Jesus, he goes out into the deep and he catches a great harvest simply because he did what Jesus said. He aligned himself with the word of God. Jesus was the word made flesh, remember? And God's calling us into the deep, to surrender, to come out into the deep where our flesh can't stand, to leave what we think that we know, to leave our ways and just follow his instruction, to follow his direction, to be led by his spirit, to go on his word, to build as he says. In shallow water, this is how God said it to me. He says, you might catch a bucket of fish, but those that go out into the deep with God will catch a great harvest. Worship team, you guys can come and join me. A couple of months ago, early hours of the morning, I woke up to this sound of sirens in my spirit. And I got up and they didn't stop and they just went on and on and on until I heard the sounds of these horns, these blasts. There was one long and three short. And I saw a picture of a ship leaving shallow water. And I realized the sounds, the sirens, they were the alarms of heaven. And when I looked up what these sounds meant, the blast, the long blast meant that you're departing. And the three short meant that you're doing so in reverse. There's a shift in position, a pivot. I want to tell you it's time for the ships to set out. It's time for the boats to move out. It's time for the vessels, his churches, his people to come out deep, out of the shallows. Do you hear the alarms of heaven waking you from your slumber? Do you hear it? Because it's time to come into the deep where your flesh can't stand. There's a shift in position and direction, a change in our focus. It's time to come deeper. And it's a heart shift. It's a new level of surrender, alignment, our heart with his way. He's coming in victory and resurrection power and in signs and wonders. And it's not by might nor by power, it's by his spirit. It's by his spirit. It's about our surrender, us knowing our weakness and our desperate need for him. Our weakness is not that we have weakness. Our weakness is that we don't acknowledge our weakness. And God wants to move in us and in our world. He does. But it starts with us. The Bible says, if my people, that's you and me, if my people who are called by my name, the ones that he's given his name to, that's you and I, if we come humbling ourselves, confessing, God, we need to pray, confessing our need to repent, to turn from our ways, our wicked ways, seek his face, not his hand, his face, seek his face, it's that place of transformation before him, and surrender to him, come to him, then he will hear us. Then he will hear us and heal our land. His way. Jesus is the way, and he showed us the way. He showed us the way. All across this place, would you just close your eyes with me? You know, maybe you're here today and you don't know what it is to have your broken life exchanged for God's abundant life. God sent his son to die on the cross to restore your relationship that sin has broken. God wants to come into relationship with you. Sin separated us from God. And in this moment, he's offering you a gift. You don't have to do anything to earn it. And I know that he looked through time and he saw you. And he knew that it would be worth it, that you might know him, that you might accept him, that you might find him, and that you might come into relationship with him. He took our place of punishment so that you would be forgiven, that your relationship would be restored. He's always been the answer to that deep longing in your heart. And we give you an opportunity today. You know, maybe you've never invited Jesus into your heart. Maybe it's been a really long time, or maybe you just know in your heart that you need to make your life right with God today. Maybe you've been through a rough time. It's okay. He's not mad at you. He's waiting with open arms to restore you and bring you back into His life to make you whole. And I want to ask you, if that's you today, I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to call you down the front. All we're going to do is we're going to say a prayer together as one big family. And all you need to do is just slip your hand up so I know who I'm praying for. And then you can put it down and we'll pray together. So I'm going to count to three. And if that's you, just slip your hand up nice and high so I can see it. And then you can put it down. One, two, three. Is there anyone in this place you want to make that decision today? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Okay. I don't see any hands in this service, but would you just stand to your feet all across this place? Just begin to position yourself in that posture of surrender before God. He's after our surrender, our life in exchange for His life. Come on, it's time to be set apart for the exclusive use of God, to yield to the Father. Lay your life down again, and not just today, every day. To die to ourselves, to pick up our cross and follow, not my way, His way. When Jesus surrendered His life as a once and for all sacrifice on the cross became an altar. The cross became an altar. This space at the front of church, we call it an altar. To follow Jesus to the cross is to lay your life upon the altar in surrender. It's to lay your life upon the altar in surrender. When they would sacrifice things upon an altar, fire would come upon the sacrifice. Fire would come upon the sacrifice. And fire falls on the altar when a sacrifice is laid upon it. When a sacrifice is laid upon it. And fire falls when we, the living sacrifices, surrender our lives. That's when the fire of God comes. That's when the fire of God comes. And so I want to invite you today. We're going to open up the front of this altar. And if the desire of your heart is, God, I want to draw a line in the sand. I want to come into what you're doing. I want to be a true disciple. I want to be one that comes into the new. I want to be one that lives by your word. That does what you say, Father God. I lay my life down. Would your Holy Spirit come? Come on, would you come quickly? Would you come quickly? Some of you, as you come up here, I saw it. You're going to feel the fire of God begin to touch your life as you make that faith step to lay your life upon the altar, to surrender to Him again, to surrender to Him again. God, we thank you that you're here in this place. We thank you that you're here in this place. We thank you that you're burning away what was. You're removing what has been. You're doing a deep work in the hearts of your people for your kingdom, for your plan, and for your purpose. God, would fire fall in this place, we pray, as surrendered vessels come, as surrendered vessels surrender again, surrender again. This is the word of the Lord for you today. Come and lay your life upon the altar. He wants to burn away so that you can carry His glory, carry His fire, that you would be a carrier of Him and not of yourself. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God.
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.